Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And for we know this. This is record. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Glorious and victorious day it is. It is the 3rd of July. The year is 2018. You've tuned in, not by coincidence, not by accident, but by divine appointment to the hour of power, a time of refreshing, a time of revitalizing, a time of renewing our faith in God and receiving the fervency of His miracles. Tuned in at the right time, at the right place, the right space. Understand that God operates by the evidence of seasons. Seasons are the projections in which the conditions are meet or right for God to do something that is deemed as impossible with mankind. Because we know that God operates on a supernatural frequency. That's right. That's why the scripture tells us, as high as the heavens are from the earth, it's God's way from our way, His thoughts from our thoughts. And this is why it's so important that we have that one-on-one, mano-a-mano relationship with God. Because God wants to show His divine favor, His miracle-producing power of omnipotence, which is all-powerful, omniscience, that means all-knowing, all-seeing, and omnipresent means at every place, at every given time. This is the very pronounced season for the manifestations of God to take place. So listen, if you want that breakthrough, you want that miracle, you want that deliverance, stay tuned in. Don't touch that Blog Talk Radio Network dial. Don't get up and get busy doing something else. Don't hold a sci-fi conversation. You need to tune in and get turned on to the frequency of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, the very high priest of all they who confess His name, profess His greatness, and walk in His obedience. There's going to be some miraculous things that are going on right in this very broadcast. There's going to be some supernatural interventions that are going to take place. There's going to be some divine favor that is going to be orchestrated because you were obedient. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father God, Son, and Holy Ghost. God does dwell in the midst of praise. And so many times, many of us, I don't care where you are within the span of the 7 continents around the world, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. You said, I prayed, I fasted, I meditated, and I have not gotten that miraculous breakthrough. Let me tell you something. God dwells in the midst of praise. Now, on the natural frequency of things, you exert to do a better job when you're recognized, when people give you your accolades. You really want to do an even more stellar presentation than before. When your children speak highly of you and do wonderful things to you, that makes you want to be a better mother and just a more fervent father toward your children. Because why? You're being recognized. You're being acknowledged. You're not being taken for granted. When you're a great grandmother, a great provider of wisdom and knowledge and the hands-on things that are needful and necessary to minister to your grandchildren, and they give you your accolades personified, you are even more apt to do more for your grandchildren. That's why it's so important to know and to understand that God likewise has feelings. He's touched by our infirmities, by our infirmities as well, to do more, to grant more pleasure, to grant more favor, and to expedite your miracles, to expedite your breakthrough, to more spontaneously so manifest your deliverance when you praise him. So have you, I want you to pause and just ask yourself, have I given God the praise? Have I acknowledged him? Have I exalted him? Have I spoken of him? Have I sang a song to him? Have I given my meditation to him? And you think about it. You want it on a natural level of understanding? When two people are indeed in love and they're in this binding relationship where the two hearts become as one, how much more endearing is the relationship that when that lover tells his mate how beautiful she is, how wonderful she is, how she makes him feel. His mate, his counterpart, his partner, she will go above and beyond the normal span of expectancy and will ascribe to be a better mate, to be a more listening ear, to be a more tenacious and more intimate partner, because why? You've acknowledged that you're not taking them for granted. So does God acknowledge those the more. We translate from being his dear children and his loved children to being his endearing children and his beloved children when we give raise to his praise. When we take the time out throughout the day, you don't have to put on a levitation floor show. You don't have to stand up in the crowd and be seen. You don't have to be loud and obnoxious to praise God. You don't have to put on a fashion show or a cosmetic performance. Within your being, just saying, thank you, Lord, for being God. Thank you, God, because beside you there is none other. Thank you for being my Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's right. Thank you for being Jehovah Yeshivim, for being the God of armies that fights my battles. Thank you for just being who you are in my life, within my being, within my existence. This is what God loves. He loves the raise to the praise. But we know that when God hears the praise, the very focus and the very lateral attention is drawn to that person. So it's very important that we remember these things throughout this journey called life. And when you remember these things throughout this journey called life, you will prosper the more. You will be blessed the more. The very blessings of Abraham will fall you and befall you in every aspect of your life. If there was ever a time that deliverance and the manifestation of miracles need to take place, that time is now. And I'm here as being the conduit to help you get to that plateau where you receive what you've been praying for and trusting God for. That's right. I am but a mortal woman. That's right. With an everyday job, with everyday obligations, just as you. I have to live the example of what I teach you and instruct you in order to be that powerful tool to get you to the right result. That's right. And here we are on this blessed day. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Motor City Maharani. Not forgetting that the very nucleus of my existence is the very presence of God in my life. And because he's in my life, he enriches my life. It's not just enough to live. It's wonderful to be alive. Alive means you've got that quickening mechanism within your spirit that's proactive, not just active, but proactive, that brings about results through the power of the divinity factor. That's right, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher that instructs us, that tells us, that leads us and guides us into all truth. And to having Jesus Christ as our high priest, as our Messiah, to give us special guidance in the midst of this journey called life. And knowing that God the Father is the head of all things. We are conjoined in this family. In this family, we are definitely the ancestral proteges of Jesus Christ, because we take him on as our high priest, and he becomes our mediator. Therefore, we become the beloved children of God. That's right. For God created all beings living in his own image. Humans were created in his own image. And just like children, so many have strayed off, being blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's right. But when you come back to the old landmark, you realize one thing. There's only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. This is our focus. This is the very anchoring of our belief. We are the church, and the church must abide within the very elementation of the true church, which is Jesus Christ. And when you're anchored in the true church, when your being is my being, as being the individual church, when we come together in the synagogues, that's right, and the citadels, we will know whom it is that we love and we serve, because we are the church. Don't look at that building as being the church. We are the church, and the true church is Jesus Christ. This is where we need to place our focus upon, setting our affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. Because you know what? The things in this earth do pass away. That's right. That means they go away. They fade away. They diminish. They decrease. They altercate. And if you're anchoring yourself in these things, you're going to be blown away. You're going to be brought down to the LCD, as we call the least common denominator. You're going to be diminished. But when you anchor all that you have in God, you will never come up short. And truly, God is moving by the power of his Spirit, and he's doing the impossible on this very frequency of human abode as we are. Let us go to the fifth chapter. Thank you, God, for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We're asking that you anoint every word, that your name get the honor and the glory that is so well deserved, and that your name be exalted, and Jesus Christ is exalted through us, through our praises, through our worship, and therefore touching the very elementation of your existence, Father God. We ask that you bless, touch, heal, deliver, and prosper those who are desiring the very best in this life that you have to offer. Oh, praise your holy name, God. We thank you for being with us at this time. Amen. Let us go to the fifth chapter of the book of James. That's right. The book of James is a very, very interesting book. It is a book that is indeed so well needful and necessary in this day and time, because oftentimes we get ourselves all caught up in a negative situation because we're not walking according to obedience. Faith without works is dead. First of all, we know that. And so faith must work. It must produce and must be visible. That's right. It's not enough for me to say miracles, divine interventions, deliverance, and you see me struggling and pulling, pushing, can't get through, always in the ditch. No, you want to see results through me. When I speak the words of prosperity, wealth that translates over to riches, you need to see some manifestation of that in my life. That's right. I have to walk it as I talk it. That's right. It's not enough to speak it. You've got to believe it and receive it. And this is what God is waiting for us to do, to receive the very best that he has to offer. He said, go to now, ye rich men. Weep and how for your misery that shall come upon you. Why in the world would James say that? He's speaking to those who have confidence in material wealth. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. It's God's will. Apostle Paul said, he said, he will that we prosper in all things and be in health, even as our soul does prosper. But to put all of my confidence in material things, in my financial activities, in my lucrativity, and say that this is all that life has to offer, that's being vain. That's being foolish, because why? At any given moment, what if the currency is no longer worth what it was in its former state? You've got a whole bunch of nothing. That's right. What if the very elementation of that financial institution is burglarized and someone hacks into the account and takes every penny from the account? And if your focus and your worship and your adoration was toward what you had in reserve stock, then you're going to diminish. You're going to be destroyed. That's right, because all that you put your confidence in has been ruined, has been taken, has been eradicated. He says, for your misery shall come upon you. So don't get it wrong that it's wrong to be rich. It's a blessing to be rich. How else can we take care of God's people? How else can we feed the hungry and clothe the naked? How else can we help people to pay their rental expenses, their mortgage expenses? How can we provide people with transportation to and fro? How else can we take care of the ills of this world? Money answers all things. But when you walk in the obedience of God with money, you will do the right thing. And apparently these people were falling short of what their calling was. And see, being rich is the final stage of prosperity. See, prosperity means placement, location, favor, and position. Wealth is the generating of that favor and that position. You've been postured. You get it? Set up to receive the wealth. That means you start seeing the materialization of what you believe God for, and it's adding up, it's adding up. You know, you're able to do, as I was saying in so many words, you're well to do what needs to be done. You're not in a stretch. You're not in a strain. You're not scraping pennies or counting dimes. You are well in your position. And from your wealth that's been actually generated, now you get to the third level, which is the time of accumulation, which is riches. That's when you start stockpiling what you generate. Do you understand the picture now? It's never probably been explained in that way, but this came through divine revelation. I was writing, empowering the power of God in your life. And this came by divine revelation, so that I'm giving it to you. You understand? Prosperity. That's right. That's the first level. The position, placement, location, and season. Prosperity is given to you by season. Then you accumulate through what's the next level of wealth. You're generating. You're generating what prosperity is doing in your life. When you're generating, you're getting the benefits of it. That's why into the third level, the rich factor is when you're not accumulating. You're stocking. You're stocking up what wealth has imputed into your life. So it's understandable to know that these things all work in cohesion and collaboration together. He says now, second verse, your riches are corrupted. You know something, when God allows us to be rich as he is in these end times, we're to make sure that our money stays pure. That means we're not doing the wrong things with it. We're not doing things to hurt other people with it, buying things to try to show up and show out. We're not doing things just to become the focus, ladderization of attention to get admiration from others. We're to put it back into the kingdom of God. God gave me this. He's not going to entrust us to be rich until we understand the fundamental aspects of prosperity, the importance of the wealth factor, and then the accumulation of what is reserved and referred to as being rich. So we need to get an understanding of that, that without him, we would have never been in the position to even prosper. And so he's saying, do not, Apostle Paul is saying, do not allow these things to overtake you. He says, your garments are moth-eaten. That means that, you know, you're putting on these floor shows, you're buying these expensive things just to please people. You get admiration for people, but your heart is blackened. And the worst case scenario is to be, you know, when you're limited, when you're in poverty, you can't go but so far. So many of us were humble when we didn't have anything. We were humble because we couldn't have the availability of things. And so, therefore, we were limited. We were humble. We were domiciled. We were limited. And so, therefore, we didn't act up and act out. God can use us there. But, Lord, behold, when the change comes, this is a word of knowledge. And you grasp this word because it's hot. It's going to produce miracles. At the end of this broadcast, some of you are going to get it right then. Some of you are going to get it an hour later, or maybe the next day, but it's coming. This is the season. I am on the reciprocating end. I'm spreading it like an epidemic to you through the power of this network. So understand, he's saying, look at these things that you have put yourself into. He says, your gold and silver is cankered. Why? Because your heart is not pure. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fine. And as it were fine as fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. He's saying you're getting all that you can get so you can live larger than charge, so that you can live above and beyond everyone, thinking that this is where your hope is. This is your redemption. He said, but you got it all wrong because you're not glorifying God with your riches and with your wealth, and you're not honoring him and putting him in the center of who you are and what you are and what you're doing. You're going to be taken down because of your ignorance and your refusal to do so. Money should make us more humble, having an accessibility to lucrativity, to prosperity, first level, secondary to the wealth factor, and third level, we should be the most humble, giving, and loving people. We should be the most caring and kind people. This is what God's plan for those of us who he's insurrected to be on this level has to keep in mind. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reap down your field. He's saying, look at the people that you've forgotten about, the people that helped you. And God's masterful plan of prosperity that helped elevate you. You look down on them. You don't have time for them. You have all that you need, want, and desire, and you could care less about them. You've forgotten them. Which is of what? Which is of you kept back by fraud. That means you treated them like they were nothing. You treated them as they were your less than. They were your inferiors. And you cried, and the cries of them which have reached are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Okay, that means that because you mistreat those who are in poverty, God is angry with you. You look down on people who are not on your level of fiscal integrity and say, well, they need to go get a better job. God is not pleased with you. It's not our place to judge. Judge not that we be not judged. As being rich, as being wealthy, which graduates to being rich, we should be poor in spirit. This is why Jesus was speaking to those of us who he's going to elevate. And some of us he already has. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You have to remain poor in spirit. I can remain poor in spirit because I remember times when I couldn't even put two dimes together and produce 20 cents. I remember, and it's embedded within me. I don't judge people. I don't look down at them. My heart is broken when I see people in poverty because I remember when. Some of us are too proud and too arrogant to admit that. But I remember when I say, look where the Lord brought me from. And that makes me want to be kinder to people, to be more giving, to be more submissive, to be more caring. And this is what he's exhorting to these big shot people. We've got them around us here and now. All of this is nothing but vanity. And if you're not doing what you do and giving what you give to honor God, to help those who are emancipating the struggle, God does not honor you. And when God does not honor you, look out. Evil is coming your way, and he's going to permit it to happen. Here he says, this verse, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Woo! Listen to that. He says, you live in abundance upon the earth. The things that you wanted, you bought. Place you wanted to go, you went. You possess all this materialistic lucrativity. He said, but at the same time, you were poor. Why? Because you put your confidence in your materialistic possession. Instead of trusting in God, you sat up and watched that new vehicle all night. You installed all types of notification devices on in case somebody even bumped up against it. So you would jump up out of your sleep and be ready to defend your treasure. You put all these types of notification systems and alerts on your place of dwelling to keep people out of your place or from violating what you deem was yours. You laid awake half at night, not able to sleep, because you were fearful someone would come in and do you harm and take possession of what was yours. Anytime that you went out and about because you lived in such a level of luxurious provisions that you had to watch over your shoulder and look behind your back fearful that someone was going to do you harm. That's how you became wanton. When you are wanton, you're not complete. You're incomplete. See, you have to be complete before you become wealthy, before you become rich. You have to be complete in God. God is the only one who can give you that complete. He said, ye have nourished your heart as in the day of slaughter. That means that you have listened to your own righteous self-indignation, saying that you got privilege. He said, but to your own destruction, you remain powerless. Call on the name of the Benjamins, and Satan is on your track trying to destroy you, kill your family, break down your unit compository, and see what happens. Nothing will happen. The only authoritative name given on this earth, that is the name of Jesus, Yeshua, that every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Even the spirits of the Antichrist cringe. Satan and his minions back, and they run away. They flee because they know that name is the name that opened up the portals of heaven and empowered believers to keep the chain going and the will of God be done upon the earth. So that's where the authoritative measure is. The sixth verse, he has condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That means you took your position that God allowed you to have, and you have manipulated and stepped on others, killed their joy, did things to cause them misery, cause them sadness, distress, so that you could be entertained because you felt that they were your inferiors. And if I were to turn around and take a topic for our discussion, and our power is that payback is coming right now. Then he said, hey, seventh verse, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That means that what was yours, God's going to give it to you. This is your season of prosperity. The people who live in that manner, don't envy them. Don't be jealous of them. Don't covet them and follow up on them and bow to them. God is saying to the witness of Apostle Paul through the book of James, he says, be patient. That means be steadfast. Sometimes you're going to have to cry. Sometimes you're going to have sleepless nights, or you may speak too long. Sometimes you just don't want to be bothered with anybody. You don't even want to look at your own image in the mirror. Don't be upset because God is raising us up and raising us out of the dunghill and out the dust, and he is setting us up with kings. He is the Lord our God that raises us up out of the dust, the poor out of the dust, and the needy out of the dunghill. We're being exalted at this moment. As we are speaking on this broadcast, God has already made the way. Those debts are paid. And that miracle money is coming in that mailbox and even coming in your hand, and you don't even know from an unsuspected source. Praise the Lord. He said, therefore, he said, be patient to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord means the deliverance of God. Every time we think about the coming of the Lord, don't you get excited about that great day when we're going to see the Lord himself
to descend from heaven with the voice and the shout, the voice of the archangel and the shout, and that we're going to hear the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds. That's what we think about. But this aspect is talking about the day of the Lord, the day of reckoning, when you bring all that, those tears that you cried, all those times you felt rejected in your life and said, God has forgotten me, the enemy tried to stab you in the corner and use the manipulatory abilities of others to make you feel that you were less than. He's saying, the day of the Lord is coming. That's right. So look at it as your day of redemption has already came. And then here, let's translate it again. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. This has always been within my being. The early rain prepared the ground for the seeds to be planted so the nutritional factors will be intact. But the latter rain, that latter rain is what caused the sprawl to occur. The very Green Bay tree to just sprout out. That's when you see, you can touch the manifestation factor of God's power. We are in that latter day phase. We are there. He says, but he also patient. Establish your heart. That means remain humble. Let's remember where God brought us from, where he dug us up from, and how he set us on high. It wasn't us. It wasn't our social connectivity factors. It wasn't our name and our good looks. It was the very heart of God that was touched by our contrite spirit. For the coming of the Lord draws nigh. So get glad. God dwells in the midst of praises. The time is now. Grudge not one another against another. That means don't hold grudges. So what someone didn't treat you right? So what they did your project and got credit for? So what they got recognized and you sat in the corner? Don't grudge. We must do as the 11th chapter speaks to us and tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin. The book of Hebrews, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. A grudge will become a weight that will hold you down and will keep you in bondage. No, let it go. Let it go. Some of family members betrayed you. They weren't in your corner. That's okay. Let it go. Let it flow. So that the very blessings of Abraham can overtake you and overtake I in these latter days. He said, brethren, let she be condemned. That means that you stop your own self. Sometimes you're your own worst enemy, and you don't even want to acknowledge it. He said, behold, the judge standeth before the door. That means the very reckoning of God is taking place. 10th verse, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. He said, consider the prophets. That's right, consider Isaiah. That's right, because of his boldness, they exiled him. Look at Jeremiah. He was a weeping prophet. They called him the big crybaby. Look at the various men that have carried the word. Look at Nehemiah. Look at Ezekiel, who saw the wheel turning and the very elements of Israel will be upstanded. And before it would happen, they would have to come to repentance because they allowed pagans into their land. So look at how they were treated. They weren't given the rightful referendum of reward and respect, but God honored them. And because of that, they saw the very elements of God's revenge upon those that oppressed them and tried to suppress them. Behold, we count them what? Happy, which endure. Your season of prosperity has arrived, your breakthrough, your deliverance. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. This is what God wants us to be pitiful, to be soft-hearted and full of tender mercy, not hard-hearted, belligerent. I remember how you treated me. Why should I give you anything? No. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That makes us kinder. That makes us more generous. Well, I can't even stand to sometimes sit up and look at the commercials where the people don't have food to eat. They don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So how will we get them into the knowledge of Jesus Christ if we judge and say, they're pagans, and you know, they live in an idolistic setting? No. I can get them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if I feed them. Then if I'm ministering to their natural substance, then their spiritual man will be open to me, then I can tell them about the mercies of God, the wonders of his presence, and how he can take you out of the dust and set you on the throne, how he can remove you from the dunghill and set you into a palace. This is how we reach mankind, through the ministry of our substances. And this hour of power is going to be the platform, the plethora, in which we're going to get the job done, because God has given us all the provisions. And God be with you and continue to prosper you, and that the breakthrough is coming very, very soon. We're going to be tuning back in on tomorrow with another word of knowledge. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Because we know, you know and I know, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we were not consumed, because his compassion filleth not, and they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness unto us. So you've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire Abby A. Thelson, with your Motor City Maharani saying, and all things give thanks. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We'll see you again on tomorrow afternoon. Check your local listings and tune into the broadcast, Blog Talk Radio Network, for the actual time of presentation, and which we know tomorrow is Independence Day. You're going to declare your spiritual Independence Day on tomorrow. And we'll see you then real soon. Be blessed.